हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। सो श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत मध्य लीला चैप्टर 22 द प्रोसेस ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस पेज 46 टेक्स्ट 222 146 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "For one who is fully engaged in my devotional service, whose mind is fixed on me in bhakti yoga, the path of speculative knowledge and dry renunciation is not very beneficial." Srila Prabhupada, "The path of devotional service is always independent of other activity. The path of speculative knowledge and mystic yoga may be a little beneficial in the beginning, but it cannot be considered part of devotional service." In the beginning means it just it tends to keep you towards devotion. I mean, towards the mode of goodness, or you know, you have an interest in exercising the intellect, or you have a interest in improving the mind or developing good qualities. Those elements, they themselves, it's just a platform in which you will be inclined to take advantage of the devotional process. But they themselves, they do not actually, they can't add to the devotional process. Devotional process is independent, right? So that is something to that is very important to understand, because in the conditioned state, it means in the beginning, then we may, you know, think that these things are important, just as we, you know, very have great, how you say, faith in the body, the mind, the intelligence, these aspects, because that's what we're used to, we're conditioned to. But actually, devotional service is independent, since it's the source of any activity. Devotional service is activity. All other activities are stemming from devotional service, right? So it's not that devotional service is one thing, and then these activities are another. Right, that's a mundane concept. Just like on the material platform, we reduce God down to our level. It means he's just another conditioned living entity, though conditioned by goodness. Right, in the same way, oh, India is just another place, or it's in the same way, oh, bhakti is just another process. You know, so many processes are there, and bhakti is also one of them. It's one of the options. No, it is the only option. Other options will take you to different positions and places within the material world, but only bhakti will take you beyond. Bhakti is the only one that can destroy the karana sharir and bring you to the platform of pure devotion. Nothing else can do that. So it's very important to appreciate that these other things aren't actually very beneficial. Right, so it's not very beneficial, meaning basically a gentleman's way of saying it's not actually useful. And so probably in the beginning, a little beneficial in the beginning, just because your attitude may be more interested. Maybe. The point is if it is, then it becomes useful. And if it doesn't, then it's a waste of time. Because we see so many yogis and so many intellectuals don't come to bhakti. So it's not that it's a natural stepping stone. Right. So when we talk about the yoga ladder, then we're just talking about how they're moving in the direction of Krishna's path towards Krishna. But the point is the processes themselves don't have any meaning outside of bhakti. So, yes, you're engaging the body in the Lord's service. You're engaging the intelligence and mind in the Lord's service. But this doesn't mean that, separate from connecting to Krishna, that they have a value, because the whole material world is connected to Krishna. And not seeing it that way, that's where the problem comes. So therefore, if we don't see karma, jnana, yoga in connection with Krishna, that's a problem. Right. So then here, yes.
You know, I mean, as you know, there are so many different branches of philosophy and yoga system in India, and yoga masters and self-made gurus, they so easily tap into Vedic terminologies, Sanskrit terminologies, to justify that their path is correct. And therefore, they use the word bhakti very cheaply. They use bhakti for Shiva, they use bhakti for Durga, they use bhakti for everything. And people accept those terminologies as being standard. So then when you come with bhakti yoga, they say, well, yeah, we also do bhakti yoga. We worship Ganga, we worship Shani, we worship everybody. It's all bhakti.
Right. So, but it's just like, okay, let us say, you have a small child, you know, very small, and they're going to school. Okay, then you have a child who's a little bit older. They're also going to school. You have a teenager going to school. You know, you have a young adult going to school, but you have someone who's there in their 20s and they're going to school. So is there any difference, or be just because I've said the word school, now it's all the same? So you can say like that, but the reality is no, it's that there's gradation. So even they use, because you can use the aspect as either means you just redefine it, so they understand the others aren't bhakti, or you just go with it and take it to the direction to be used. You see which one will work nicely in the situation. And so therefore, yes, it's, but you have to know that there's a hierarchy. If you say they're all the same, how can you say they're all the same? Nothing else is all the same. You know, why is it here in spiritual it's all the same? Because so if they're saying it's all the same, why? Because it has to be the opposite of here. So everything's different here, so it all has to be the same. But then that's a negative approach to spirituality. We're taking a positive to karma that will get something. You know, we're taking a negative towards the material world, but a positive towards liberation. And then there's negative to both, that it's something else. So it's just a reaction to the mundane. It doesn't make it any different.
Right.
So it's just a matter of appreciating, you know, when you talk, I mean, it means ideally you're not having to deal at the same program with these yogis. But if you're dealing with others and they say, yes, yes, then you explain to them what's there. What is the definition of yoga? And then of yoga that there's in Gita, it shows that there's a hierarchy of these yogas. Because from karma yoga, you're going to get to jnana yoga. You know, you get the knowledge and detachment, it'll come. So yoga itself is considered part of karma. And so unless it brings you to that, but then jnana will only bring you liberation. That's only a spiritual platform at best. But the point is then what do you do in that platform? Because the soul being Sat Chit Ananda, then the platform only addresses the sat aspect. The sat is nicely situated. Where's the Chit Ananda? Where's the willpower? Where's the taste? You know? So those aspects have to be addressed. And then you see is that, no, these yoga and these are all these terms, but then that's there. That's why then the natural, we see Prabhupada uses the terms. We're supposed to also know these terms like that. And so then, you know, if we talk these terms also, then they'll be comfortable. That's the advantage, you know, the advantage of being born in the Indian environment, because then all these terms are natural. They match the language, they meet the lifestyle and all these different things. But you're supposed to preach about Krishna, not just make up some other thing, be whatever you like, because then you can be unique. You can say whatever you like. Mm-hmm. Someone was telling me, someone asked Radha Krishna, one of his students, ask him, why did he take to the path of philosophy? And he said, not now. He says, why did you originally take to the path? you know, because they're students. They want to know what would inspire him. And he said, because you can say anything. You know, there is no restriction, because who knows? The common person doesn't know. You can go to the university and pontificate on anything. And as long as the students like it, you're great. But then there's reality of real spiritual life. Those who are professional spiritualists, then they know what's going on. So that's the whole idea, is we're supposed to be professional spiritualists, right? This whole idea is that, oh, we have to become professional. You already are. You're not, you know, you're not studying Bhagavatam. You're not associating with devotees. You're not chanting. You know, what else are you doing? You know, you're a professional devotee. You know, in spiritual life, that's what we are. And so just as others are professional in their business or medicine or law, we're professional in our, you know, philosophy and religion and these various processes. So then it's just a matter of them becoming aware of these things. And, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Because what is the thing? Now, what's the thing about, let's say, an Indian guru? Right? What's the one thing about them that you see all of them have?
Long
besides
hair.
Besides a beard.
Long
and a beard.
Hair.
But, okay. But then, you know, you go to the Rainbow Festival and you'll see a similar thing. But why do these guys stand out? Right? Because they're so confident. They speak with such comfort and ease, with such conviction.
And
people are attracted.
They speak very slowly, so that word is like, wow.
Yes, you can also do that. If you want to put a new age spin on it, then you can always add that. You know, it's just like you have those knobs, you know, one is reverb, one is, you know, this. So you have the, you know, the guru speak, you know, it slows down everything. Yeah. So you can, but the point is they're convinced and people are interested. They don't know what to do. So they're looking for someone who is convinced. And if we're also, well, yeah, you know, it may be and kind of, and then who's interested? So you can say is that, you know, people aren't coming around. They're not interested because we don't present ourselves as professionals and as convinced. You know, we profess us. Oh, yeah, you know, this and oh, yeah, yeah, that, of course. And oh, yes, yes, yes. And yeah, the caste system, it's a problem. And, you know, like that. But, you know, devotional services, you know, everybody's equal. And, you know. So but nobody cares. Nobody's
I think that devotees actually are too convinced. People pick up on it and they can't face the truth.
That's another thing. Then you learn how to speak nicely and make it attractive. You know, then again, you learn how to make it, you know, accessible.
Right.
So if they are so convinced that others, you know, it's just too much for them, they don't really want the then you learn how to make it accessible, you know. Or if it's a matter of one's not convinced, then become convinced.
Yeah,
because the point is that we also can see is that many times we put the emphasis, the, as we said before, is you can take the aspect of, we have to be very careful of niyamagraha, right? So we either put no emphasis on the form, you know, the formulas of devotional service, or it's only about the formulas. So those who are into the formulas of devotional service, the religious aspect, they're quite convinced, but it's convinced about you have to do all these things. That may be scary to people. But the opposite, where they say, oh, it doesn't matter and this and that, then it gives nothing for them to do. No identity, no direction, no things. Yeah, you can do, not do, because they're not giving the principle. So both are just dealing with the details. So the one has, both of them, by becoming to that middle platform where it's about devotional service and the principles of devotional service. And that aspect is then what can be appreciated. and that they can add to their life, by they can improve their life by adding that into it, then you can get somewhere. Right? And so when we say the middle, we don't mean a compromise. The middle, so because a lot of times, oh yeah, there's people are talking, you know, Niyamagraha this way, Niyamagraha that way. So we're the middle path. You know, we compromise both sides, you know, in our own unique blend. But no, the middle means the razor's edge. It means it's pure devotional service. And so that's what everybody's looking for. That's what everybody's trying to obtain, though they don't know that. They're looking in so many ways. It's interesting, if you look at the introduction to the Krishna book, this technical point, how Krishna is everything and everybody's looking for Krishna, but they don't know it. That's that George Harrison wrote that in the introduction to the Krishna book. So yeah. Devotees used to speak on that kind of technical level. They may not have known much about the technical, but they spoke at that level. Right? So that's the interesting thing. And then speaking like this, people can see that there's a logic, there's a tradition, there's these things. So there's something solid and they can take advantage of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So otherwise, then what's the platform? You know, we talk professional, but the point is why not make our, and presentation professional doesn't mean that it's a, you know, has it's a, what do you call it? PowerPoint and this and that. You can use those things, of course, but that's not what makes it professional. It's what you have to say and how you say it that's professional. Right? Many people who get up and present, they don't have anything on the board. There's nothing. They just get up and talk. And they're so influential. Like that. So it's that conviction that you're convinced of Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, as you're looking for a way, like Lord Chaitanya said, how to catch all these people. And so then one's looking for that ways to, you know, attract them and all this. But you don't have to do it within their sphere. It's just a matter of you give reality, but try to find how to present the reality that they can be happy with it.
Right.
So.
Yes, yeah? Thank you.
Good. Okay. Okay. This verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20-31, that Lord Chaitanya spoke, was spoken by Lord Krishna when he was speaking to Uddhava before his departure from this material world. These are important instructions given directly by Lord Krishna. Sri Uddhava asked the Lord about the two kinds of instructions given in the Vedas. One instruction is called Pravritti Marg and the other is called Nivritti Marg. These are directions for enjoying the material world according to regulated principles, and then giving up the material world for higher spiritual understanding. Sometimes one does not know whether to practice speculative knowledge and mystic yoga for advancement in spiritual knowledge. Krishna explains to Uddhava that the mechanical process of speculative knowledge and yoga is not necessary for advancing in devotional service. Devotional service is completely spiritual. It has nothing to do with material things. It is awakened by hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. Because devotional service is always transcendental, it has nothing to do with material activity. Right? So material activity has no influence or effect. But you can engage in the Lord's service. Yes, but the point is when you see it in the Lord's service, actually for the Lord's pleasure, and why? Because that's his energies that are working. He's given the laws. That's what the thing, that's what mechanically makes it function. Then you're beyond the modes. But if you think, no, this process by doing that will elevate me up, that will make me a better devotee so that I can therefore then actually take advantage of the devotional process, then we're using the material understanding and saying that that's establishing us on the spiritual platform, but it won't. Mode of goodness is not spiritual. It may be the nicest and the best platform in the material world, but it's still not spiritual. And mode of goodness means with knowledge, you understand yourself what you, is your duties and the environment around you in which to perform those duties. That's mode of goodness. Not mode of goodness doesn't mean I'm a nice guy like that. Does that make sense? Koalas are nice guys, but they sleep 22 hours a day. Right? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "O Hunter, good qualities like nonviolence, which you have developed, are not very astonishing. For those who are engaged in the Lord's devotional service are never inclined to give pain to others because of envy." Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from the Skanda Purana. It was spoken by Narad Muni to the reformed hunger Mrigrari. So that one has good qualities, that's not amazing, because devotional service is so special that all the good qualities come. So because of seeing all living entities connected to Krishna, they're not inclined to give them pain because of envy. Like that. Verses 148. Yes.
It seems that here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is reciting so many verses from the Vedic literature. Yes. And it's like, can we say selecting some verses for putting the point more clearly? It's like a thematic study, what he's doing,
Yes, because you're going to have is that everything's backed up by scripture.
Yes.
And so being backed up by scripture, then, you can see where the basis is. But then Lord Chaitanya is going to give it in the very nice format in which you can see how one naturally steps into the next. That's how then study the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Jiva Goswami wrote the Sandarbhas. Then studying this and the Sandarbha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur then documented, so many nice things to make it more clear to us. Because we see Jiva Goswami, he doesn't call it Dasamul, Bhaktivinoda Thakur does. Because you see these categories are there. And then we're able to appreciate. And you see when Lord Chaitanya talks, he talks according to this.
Yes.
So all it is he's made us aware.
Yes, yes.
Right? He's mentioned Sambandabhideya Prayojana, Lord Chaitanya has, many times.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So having mentioned that, then naturally these are the areas. They're talking about the nature of Krishna, the nature of the Jiva, the nature of the material world, that relationship based on Achinta Veda Veda Tattva, then devotional process and the ultimate goal of Prayojana. And they've established that, everything has to be based in Shastra. Right. So all these different aspects are all there. So then we see the acharyas then very nicely take these instructions and write books. So from these discussions, then Rupa Goswami is going to write Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Then Sanatana Goswami will write Hari Bhakti Vilas and Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, like this. So all these different literatures are simply showing how Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is being explained, in Srimad Bhagavatam in the Vedic literatures. So it's a natural form. So how it's given here, you can understand this is the essential point.
Yes.
This makes the form, this makes the format very clear. Then from there, you add in details and then you'll get a better idea. But if you try to put together things based on what you see is what are the patterns and this and that, you may or may not catch what's going on or how the acharyas present things. So one wants to stick to what it is that the acharyas do. That's always going to be strong. But at the same time, is know where it fits. So don't overemphasize, just to be unique or different. Does that make sense? Know what these different points are for. And so therefore, within those contexts, then you try to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because now sometimes when we mention about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is like he's putting the emphasis of the chanting Hare Krishna. But here, since we started the Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially Madhya Lila, he recited so many verses.
Yeah.
So many scripture,
Yeah.
It's like there are maybe 50% is verses and 50% is stake.
Yes.
He established fully the complete the science of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, the full philosophy. That's why it said the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study. So it's like, you know, getting down what is the essence and all these different things.
Yes.
So, yes, because the Adi Leela is going to establish everything. Madhya Leela is then Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as a preacher.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then Antya Leela is then the tasting of what he's preached. Right? Because the Chaitanya Bhagavat, then that very much focuses on the Adi Leela pastimes.
Yes. Yes.
So that's why then he doesn't get into so much of that. He gives a synopsis of that. He gives a synopsis of the whole work, especially in the beginning, the five main conversations. He gets into that to bring that out, because that's the essential point of the Bhagavatam, is these instructions. I mean, of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then, you know, he goes through and mentions, brings out pastimes that may not have been brought out so much in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then he goes, Chaitanya, the Madhya Leela, you see there's more detail, because that's not covered in depth in Chaitanya Bhagavat or Chaitanya Mangal. They focus more on the Navadvipa pastimes.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
No, yeah. So then that's why you'll see here, there'll be so many more verses quoted and everything like that.
Yes.
But this is how they would speak. They were so knowledgeable in scripture that they could just put one to, you know, into the next together. I think it was in San Diego. I think it was Kusakrata. And this would have been 73. Then he gave, I remember it was the Gita class, I think. So then, you know, the class was the regular length. So he'd say, he'd read the verse, you know, for the purport. Then he'd start to speak. So Krishna here is saying this point like this. So he's making this. He quoted another Gita verse. Right. And then, and so that, and this word here, so that, and then this verse, the whole class was just verses, you know, so only a few words to connect the verses, because he had, you know, the way his, he had the whole Gita memorized, you know, could work with it, you know, and he was into Sanskrit. So then, you know, the words meant something to him and all that. So he just spoke verses only, you know, so we see here is, you know, it would be more like this, is that there'll be many verses spoken, but there'll be also, you know, the discussion, so that you know, it's explained and it's connected to the next point and everything like that. But it was very interesting to see how he knew so many verses and was, you know, comfortable with those. So it is possible, but, you know, we do the best we can.
Yes.
Like that. Okay. Verses 148 to 169. Devotional service in attachment. 222, 148 to 151. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I have now in detail described devotional service according to the regulative principles. Now hear from me about spontaneous devotional service and its characteristics, right? So Sanatana Goswami is getting the full range of what is devotional service, how it reigns, the sabandha, the abhideya, and prayojan of it. But it's being in the context of what is the knowledge of it, you know, and what it does, how you know, those technical points. So it's actually the sambandha gyan. Sambandha gyan means knowing sambandha gyan means understanding sambandha abhideya and prayojana. Abhideya means applying, right, what you've learned from sambandha gyan. And prayojana means then that the resultant taste, right? So then Sanatana Goswami is establishing how devotional service, the Lord, the devotee, the devotional service, how that works. While then Rupa Goswami is showing you how you apply what Sanatana Goswami has taught. That's why you see in the sixth chapter of the NOD, then Rupa Goswami is quoting from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Like you see, is the 64 items are not in Rupa Goswami's conversation. They're in Sanatan Goswami's conversation. So those are quoted by Rupa Goswami as the basis how devotional service is going to work. This is how you apply it. Then he explains it and gives example for each one. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
So Maharaj, when we say that the Bhagavad Gita is Sambandha Gyan, actually within the Gita there is Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana also.
Yes, just as in Bhagavatam, it just as in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's just the emphasis in Gita is more establishing the fundamentals of the whole process. And trying to remove all doubts, right?
That's the five topics.
Yes, but in there, devotional service and the effect of attaining to going back to Godhead and that they're all explained. But the emphasis will be on the Sambandha aspect of the whole process, while in the Bhagavatam, then you'll see more the Abhideya and how devotees applied it in their life, how they're taking this knowledge of Gita and using it in their life. So Bhagavatam is in explaining that. That's why then it becomes that special in that way, because then you see it's a Puranic explanation rather than Upanishadic. Right? You know, because you have 7 days, not 30 minutes or 1 hour. like that. And so then that's used. And so it can be like that. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita is then showing how we as Gaudiyas can follow that and apply that in our life. And then what taste is there from that. Right? How the devotees, sadhakas are able to taste and appreciate the pastimes of Krishna and his associates. So each one is complete in itself, but at the same time, there's a natural progression.
Yes.
Whatever points, philosophical points are made in Gita, there's no more points made in the rest of the works.
Yes.
It's just they may bring out further detail or explanation, show connections, different, levels of the point like this, and applications, all these things may be there. And when it says ABCs, it's just like in when you go to grade school and you learn the alphabet, it's not when you get to middle school or high school or university, there's more letters. It's the same. You learn, the numbers. It's not that there's more later, or they teach you 2 + 2 = 4, and 4 + 4 = 8, like this. And then when you get up into higher math, then no, that's not a new, that's just for the kids, just like the Indian gurus, that's for the common people. And now I'll give you the higher, like this. No, it's the fundamentals remain. That's the whole point of is those are the real essential things. That's not necessarily where the focus is. The focus is on, more technical details, rather than on what is the principle at work. Just like language, you learn language, like that. It's important to learn language. Why do you need to know language? You can read, you can this and that. But the point is it's communication. That's actually what it is. And so the principles of communication, they're always functioning. And then languages have their way of applying them, like I just from hearing, it just struck me because I noticed myself doing it, and then I started to, but I've never noticed it other places. And then I'm because how much I don't hear Americans talk much other than myself, right? And so then I'm hearing other Americans talk. I'm hearing English talk. I thought it was an American thing, but then I was listening to some English, and they do the same thing. Is in English, you can emphasize, practically every word in the sentence. You understand? You want to make a point. So therefore, you emphasize every last single word. Other languages just kind of like speak more and now and again might bring something out, but they don't seem to use that kind of, you know, staccato kind of method. So, because in other languages, how the thing's used and different things like that is kind of more inherent in it. The words mean something. While a bit in English, they don't necessarily mean anything anymore. It represents something, but it doesn't mean like table. What does it mean? You know, like that. Probably if you take it back into languages further back, you know, either into the French or the Italian or the Latin or the Greek, then you get, what is it, tableau or something like this, where flat and stuff like that. But in Sanskrit, it means that which raises up or keeps off the floor. So table is what keeps things off the floor. It actually, so you don't have to, does that make sense?
Yeah, in the old English, it refers to a plank.
A plank. Yeah, because probably that's all the better it was, you know? You know, you take two you know, sawhorses, stick a plank on top, you know, pull up a log, and then it's dinner time, you know?
It's a flat slab.
Flat slab, yes. So that's the thing, is that, but if it could be a flat slab and put it on the floor. So now is it a table?
Right.
You know, people, you know, they kind of accept, well, it's got legs. So what is it doing? It's holding up off the floor. That's the whole point. So if it's just a plank, it's not a table. If it's got a little bit of legs on it, then it's a table. You know, like this. That's a table.
Yeah.
Right? It's got a little bit of leg on it. And so it holds things off the floor. So that's the problem, is that it's not understood about communication or what there. Get into the spelling is important, the grammar is important, and these things are all important, of course. But they're only there to support the ability to communicate. That's all they're for. They're secondary to support that. But then those who many times go into the language, those become the prominent, and they forget about necessarily the communication. You know, because people don't have anything to say. Therefore, then it doesn't matter, right? Teacher has nothing to say. Students have nothing to say. And so therefore, then, you know, hari bol, doesn't matter. But so the Vedic is that there is something to say. There is an essence. And that essence then can be explained and expanded. So that's then what's the point. So Gita is giving that essence. Then you see the same thing presented by Kapila Muni, then bringing in more. It brings in the metaphysical analyzation deeper. Then you see it again to Uddhava in the 11th canto. And now you're bringing out just the delineation about how there's pure devotional service and nothing else that's that important. You know? So you're going to see that teaching of Gita also going all the way through, how it develops. And then you see in between how everybody is applying it. Like that. So then it becomes, you know, very, very, yeah, very nice. So you are, yes, you're going to see these things all the way through. And so it's just an emphasis. It's just all the elements are there. It's just which one's brought out. You know, like we were saying before, is that you have some vegetables and some tomatoes. You call it a sabji. You have tomatoes, a little bit of sabji, you call it a chutney. It's just which is prominent. You know, if I take dal and I put cut few pieces of lau, you know, or the pumpkin, and put it inside and boil it, it's a lau dal. But it's also a very famous preparation. When I'm cooking lau as a sabji, I put a small amount of dal into that, you know, to give flavors and that, because the two go very well together. But one's a dal, one's a sabji, even though it's exactly the same ingredients. Yeah. Just the proportion changes.
Proportion, the emphasis.
Yes, like that. So therefore, what's being given in all the three literatures, you know, and then Nectar Devotion, it's just the same. It's just where the emphasis is. So if that's understood, then you can unlimitedly go out. They can say, oh, no, but that's just basic. But they're bringing it down to the mundane knowledge, where basics and mundane knowledge are just, they're the lower level. And then you move up. The detail becomes the higher. But in the spiritual world, it's reversed. If you don't know the principle, then what does it matter? You know? You know, it's like the, the fisherman and the scholar, you know, crossing the pond on the boat or crossing the lake, you know, like that. So it's just a matter of, yes, you can say all these things and all that, and this is wasted. But in reality, you don't know bhakti yoga, pure devotional service as delineated by, you see, Rupa Goswami defining it. Then one's not getting the full benefit that one can get. Right? Does that make sense? And then for those who aren't applying it in devotional service, then they're just wasting their time, working so hard, and then they'll die. In the next life, they'll just continue where they left off in a body suitable for that.
Yeah? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Verses 148 to 169, devotional service and attachment. My dear Sanatana, I have now in detail described devotional service according to the regulative principles. Now hear from me about spontaneous devotional service and its characteristics. The original inhabitants of Vrindavan are attached to Krishna spontaneously in devotional service. Nothing can compare to such spontaneous devotional service, which is called ragatmika bhakti. When a devotee follows in the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan, his devotional service is called raga anuga bhakti. Quote, when one becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, according to one's natural inclination to love him, and is fully absorbed in thoughts of the Lord, that state is called transcendental attachment. And devotional service according to that attachment is called ragatmika, or spontaneous devotional service. 54. This verse is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.72. The primary characteristics, Sarup Lakshana, of spontaneous love is deep attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Absorption in thought of him is a marginal characteristic, Tathasta Lakshana. Right? So there's attachment for him that one may be thinking of him. That's a marginal characteristic, tatasta, because you might be absorbed in the devotee that's there or the particular activity or this and that. But the attachment for Krishna, that's the point that's always there. That's the quality that never leaves, you know? So the whole point is in this way, they're remembering Krishna through their attachment to him, right? Does that make sense? Stop and just being absorbed in Krishna himself. That will happen now and again, according to the past time and the present situation. But that absorption in that love for him, and therefore the dynamic interaction between the Lord and the devotee, that will be the Sarup Lakshana, the main Lakshana. Right? So, you understand? So that's why without Lord Chaitanya explaining these things, we wouldn't know what these things are. Because we'll take it, you know, just sitting and talk, you know, yes, he just sits and thinks about Krishna and does nothing. Okay, that may be, if he's focusing on Smaranam as his service, then yes, like Prahlad Maharaj, then that's prominently what he's doing. But we'll see is that but there's also other things, like Srila Prabhupada makes the point that Arjuna fighting on the battlefield, it's not that he's remembering Krishna, absorbed in Krishna, in thought at every moment. He's thinking how to best, you know, fight the enemy. But he's doing that simply because of his love for Krishna. So that love for Krishna, that attachment to Krishna, then everything's going on from that platform. Right? Because it's personal. Vritti, as mentioned in text 106 of this chapter, the Srup Lakshana, natural characteristics of devotional service are Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smarana. And the Tathasta Lakshana, marginal characteristic, is that it awakens pure love for Krishna. So you're going to be absorbed in service, and that pure love for Krishna, that's a marginal, that just comes on the side. It's not the main thing. The main thing is that you're going to be absorbed. So the chanting the holy name is the process to awaken, and chanting the holy name is then what you're going to do when you come to the perfectional platform. So devotional service is the process, and devotional service is the effect. Right? So that's the wonderful thing about the transcendental. It doesn't move on, and you move on from what you had. Whatever is wonderful, that's what continues. But it just then, that taste for it, that depth of it, that's what then comes. Yeah? 222, 152, 153. Thus, devotional service, which consists of rag, deep attachment, is called rag atmika. So it means rag atmika. Atmika means it's the life. So rag is the life of that devotee. That attachment to Krishna, that's their life. There is nothing else. So because of that, that's why they have a particular form, particular service. All that's these the aspects come up.
That's the bridge passage. So,
yes, yes. Yes. When we get to this level that we have to just see, then, you know, much of the time they're only talking about Rajbasis. Yeah. Means when you're giving the process how you come out of the material world, then you'll see so many great personalities, and even the you know, the properly situated jnanis, you know, the great sages, you know, they're also exemplary. Then you come up, but more of those who are then free from the material entanglement and all that, you know, then they'll be seen, and that, and then all those devotees who are situated, then, you know, all the nice devotees and how they're all fixed on Krishna, and it's about devotional service. But then when you go farther, then you're going to get into this aspect of rag, then you are talking Brajbasis. Means it's not that others don't have some spontaneous element in that and that attachment, but it's not on the level of the Brajbasis that you would call it rag, ragatmika. You know, because that's all it is. And other things then are tatasa, they support. Vaikuntha, because of the aspect of what do you call it? Grandeur. Then they're going to, you know, their rules and regulations will take more of a prominence. And so therefore you want to do everything through those rules. Okay, we want to do service for Krishna. So we have to go this time in this place and in this way, do this service. And so then, you know, it becomes a nice thing. But then in Vrindavan, then that spontaneous aspect, it's not about the rules that govern the service. It's about rendering, I mean, about expressing that affection for Krishna through that service, right? So that aspect of anubhava, where from being inspired by Krishna, then they want to do something, express that, then that's where it's going to take the spontaneous thing. So it's not about the particular line of the rules that's going, it's the particular line of the expression of that rag. But because it is purely for Krishna and it's about Krishna, therefore they'll never do anything that's inappropriate. It's always going to follow that line of rasa. You know, while in the material world, our idea of spontaneity means we break through all the rules, you know, think out of the box and this and that, you know. So, yeah, okay, here, try that. Go out of the box, see what happens. You know? You know, I mean, it sounds good, but the whole point is they're just thinking, oh, what is the stereotypical things? But no, there's fundaments on which it works. And so, therefore, you can see, you can write a whole book about the science of what that guy did that's out of the box. You know, it just meant others weren't seeing it. They were just seeing rules. They weren't seeing the principles. So, yeah. Yeah. If a devotee covets such a position, he is considered to be most fortunate. It means if you want that position of having that rag, that attachment for Krishna, having that and that being an important part of of your determination, then that person is considered fortunate, right? Even if occasionally it comes up, I'd like to be like that. One is fortunate. But the more that's there, the more that determined, the more that focused, the more fortunate you become. Why? Because then you move nicely towards that. Because it's a matter of desire. You want that. Then by following the direction given by the acharyas, it can be awoken, right? That's why they say you stick to what's recommended, what the scriptures say. And what are the scriptures? What Bhagavatam? You know, what nectar devotion, what Chaitanya Charitamrita, what are the acharyas, their comments, what do they say? That's what we're following. And so then you can come to that position of being able to actually appreciate that, yes, this is what's going on. This is what one does. Is that, yeah?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's something that is desired. Right. That's why you have to be very, very careful. Is you can't destroy desire, but you don't want people to become sahajiyas. Just like you want them to inquire, but you don't want them to become jnanis. You know, you have to get that balance so that it both of those, it means you keep them on that path of pure devotional service. And then as one gets purified, then one appreciates and one wants that. And then when that becomes a drive, then it becomes very dynamic, right? So it's not something you can artificially copy. It's a matter of as one becomes attracted to Krishna, then these things come along. Okay, when follows in the inhabitants of Vrindavan out of such transcendental covetousness, he does not care for the injunctions or reasonings of Shastra. That is the way of spontaneous love, right? So that doesn't mean they're thrown out, but it says, you know, first of all, we think, oh, see, you don't have to care for the injunctions. What was in the sentence before that? When follows in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, what was before that? Devotee covets such position. What is that? Thus, it's a deep attachment. That's called spontaneous loving service. So you have to see the context, not just, okay, yeah, okay. Oh, hey, I don't have to follow the rules. Right. Yeah. So it means it's not because the injunction says, or the reasoning, the logic of Shastra, that's not why he's doing it. He's doing it because he has attachment for Krishna. Like we may want to do something and then, oh yeah, no, I shouldn't do now. Okay, what is this? We shouldn't, you know, it's like, oh, it's a codicil. So then, you know, I should consider this or that, or should I do this or that? Because we're just thinking of the reasonings and the injunctions. We're not thinking that, you know, the attachment for Krishna is there and it's a codicil. So therefore then, you know, you can render more service and all that, you know, it's big. If you have your daily service, you do, but if on that day you do extra stuff, no one's going to complain because it's a codicil, so you're going to be very inspired. Right? Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that a devotee is attracted by the service of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, namely the cowherd men, Maharaj Nanda, Mother Jashoda, Radharani, the gopis, and the cows and calves. An advanced devotee is attracted by the service rendered by an eternal servant of the Lord. This attraction is called spontaneous attraction. Technically, it's called Sarup Upalabdhi. The stage is not achieved in the beginning. In the beginning, one has to render service strictly according to the regulated principles set forth by the revealed scriptures and the spiritual master. Right? So it's not up to us to just say, oh, we don't care for all these things. It is a matter of, it's a natural progression. By continuously rendering service through the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, one's natural inclination is gradually awakened. That is called spontaneous attraction or Raga Nuga Bhakti, right? Because then it's following in that footsteps that these devotees are rendering such nice service to Krishna. They're always absorbed in Krishna. I would like to be absorbed like they are in Krishna. Right? The specific services are ways to express that service, but it's the attitude of that service and surrender that they had, that's what we're interested in. That's why you see is on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, on the bed of arrows, you know, then we see Bhishma Dev is lying there, and he's glorifying the greatness of the gopis because of their surrender to Krishna, their love for Krishna. That's glorious, right? So that aspect is that's what they're looking at. It's not the specific service. It's that attitude of service. That's where the Brajbasis are all special, because of that full surrender to Krishna, pure unalloyed devotion. Then within that, they have their particular attraction, which is then in the five rasas. But their attraction for Krishna then is pure unalloyed devotional service, while others have pure devotional service. An advanced devotee situated on the platform of spontaneity is already very expert in shastric injunction, logic, and argument. Right? So they've always gone to that point. So not that we don't know these things, don't care about these things, and then say yukta vairagya and then throw everything out. You know? When it comes to the point of eternal love for Krishna, no one can deviate him from that position, neither by argument nor by shastric evidence. An advanced devotee has realized his eternal relationship with the Lord, and consequently does not accept the lodging and arguments of others. Such an advanced devotee has nothing to do with the sahajiyas, who manufacture their own way and commit sins by indulging in illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling, if not meat eating. Sometimes the sahajiyas imitate advanced devotees and live in their own whimsical way, avoiding the principles set down in the revealed scriptures. Unless one follows the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Sanatana, Raghunath Bhatta, Sri Jiva, Gopal Bhatta, and Raghunath Das, one cannot be a bona fide spontaneous lover of Krishna. In this connection, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Rupa Raghunatha Pade, Hoibe Akuti, Kabe Hama, Bhujabho, Se Jugala Piriti. The Sahajiya's understanding of the love affairs between Radha and Krishna is not bona fide, because they do not follow the principles laid down by the six Goswamis. Their illicit connection and their imitation of the dress of Rupa Goswami, as well as their avoidance of the prescribed methods of revealed scriptures, will lead them to the lowest regions of hell. These imitative Sahajiya's are cheated and unfortunate. They're not equal to advanced devotees, Paramahamsas. Debauchees and Paramahamsas are not on the same level, right? So then, one has to be very careful about between these two. There's a difference, because that's why you're saying it's just when take this part. Oh, we don't care for the injunctions or reasoning. It means that's not the reason they serve Krishna. It's not that they don't follow those things, but that's not the reason they're serving Krishna. Right? For others, you know, we may do things because the Shastra says, right? And then others, if we're not, we don't know, or we're not convinced, then others may argue with us and then give us, you know, some direction and all that. And so then by that, then we're able to appreciate. Does that make sense? Well, for them, they love Krishna. And it's just like Vasudev, and you know, trying to tell things to Nanda Baba or this and that. It's just like it doesn't make any sense, you know. Or to Mother Jashoda, when she sees the universal form in Krishna's mouth, it doesn't make any sense. So they love Krishna not because he's God, he's the supreme, he's this and that. No, they love him just because they love him, the person, and how nice a person he is. While the others love him because he's God, and as God, he's a really great person. But it's God who's a great person. For them, he could be God or not God, they don't care. So we see in the beginning of the Braj Leela, in the Bhagavatam, you know, they're bewildered when anyone brings this up. But we see by the end, when they go to Kurukshetra and all that, then Vasudev is saying so many things, and they he can say all they like. They don't care. That's their Krishna. So, he's God. So what? Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. 222, 154, 162. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, devotional service and spontaneous love is vividly expressed and manifested by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Devotional service that accords with their devotional service is called Raganuga Bhakti, or devotional service following in the wake of spontaneous loving service. 55. This verse is also found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.270. Quote, when an advanced realized devotee hears about the affairs of the devotees of Vrindavan, in the mellows of Shanta, Dasya, Shakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, he becomes inclined in one of these ways, and his intelligence becomes attracted. Right? Intelligence becomes attractive because then you analyze and then you see, yes, this would be that, I would like to do this, that, you know. So it's not so much the mind is there, but we see is that the intelligence becomes attracted because it's analyzed, this would be for me the best thing. Right? Indeed, he begins to covet that particular type of devotion. It means he wants that, he desires it. When such covetedness is awakened, one's intelligence no longer depends on the instruction of Shastra. Right? In the beginning, you see, this is the best, or this is nice, or this is this. And so that's why there may be an attraction. But after a while, that's nothing to do with it. It's just that one's attracted. Does that make sense? Yeah. There are two processes by which one may execute this Raganuga Bhakti, external and internal. One's intelligence no longer depends on the instructions of Shastra, revealed scripture, or on logic and argument. Footnote 56. This verse is also found in the Bhakti Rasamrita, Sindhu 1.2.292. There are two processes by which one may execute this Raganuga Bhakti, external and internal. When self-realized, the advanced devotee externally remains like a neophyte and executes all the Shastric injunctions, especially those concerning hearing and chanting. But within his mind, in his original purified self-realized position, he serves Krishna in Vrindavan in his particular way. He serves Krishna 24 hours a day, all day and night, right? So we see here is that there's the external and the internal. So when it says that he doesn't care for the regulations, that means internally. But externally, we see that they're always, always engaged in the Lord's service following the regulative principles as given. Because it says, the neophyte, Prabhupada says, neophyte must very strictly follow these. But we see as they come to the platform of Raganuga, they also strictly follow these. But internally, that's not why they're doing service. They're doing because of their attraction. But the form through which they externally express it will be through the rules and regulations. Right? He says, especially hearing and chanting. So those will take a prominence. Quote, the advance of, yes, please.
So it means that all the elements of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti contains the potential of Raganuga.
Of course. Because we have to remember, where is Raganuga Bhakti placed? You know, where is it explained by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? Right? So it's counted as within the range of Sadhana Bhakti. Sadhana Bhakti has two forms, Vaidhi and Rag. So the whole point is externally, they both look the same. One is Vaidhi means if he doesn't do the Vaidhi, things don't happen because without the rules, he doesn't do something. But spontaneous devotional service means you'll always be engaged in devotional service. It's not dependent upon the rules, right? That's the whole point that's there. And so, therefore, externally, they both look the same. So this idea, no, I'm more advanced, we don't have to follow the rules and this and that, that's coming from the Sahajiyas, nowhere else, or our foolishness. You know, that's why it says don't go and hang around with these. You know, people have to go to Radhakund and have to go talk to the Babas there. It's like, how many times have you been to Radhakund, walked around Radhakund, take the bath at Radhakund, and never talked to one of the Babas? You know, I mean, you might walk by and, you know, like that, that you go down, sit down, take instruction ever? I don't remember once. You know, so that's the whole thing. So why would you go there and listen to what they have to say when the acharyas are saying, don't listen to what they have to say? So then in this way, then different things come in and, oh, this is there and that's there. And it's because they have a whole different approach to how things are. That's why it's called sahajya. Sahajya comes from sahajayan, which means the easy path. Right? You know, you have the different paths, Terayan, Mahayan, Hinayan, and you have Sahajayan. Sahajayan means that they're Buddhists who do not care about the rules and regulations, don't care about scripture. They don't study scripture. That is just all, you know, Bob, you know, if that means anything, you know, Buddhism. Then that, you know, and so Bengalis, when they become Buddhists, they become Sahajan Buddhists, right? And then that tantric element is there, you know, from Kamakshi up north. And so then you have that. Now when Lord Chaitanya's movement comes through and then Lord Chaitanya and all these things like that, then yes, they can take up devotional service and they just apply their same Sahajayan Buddhism to that. And so they become Radha and Krishna, right? Because, you know, it's as Buddhists, it's all one. Okay, and then you have the aspect is they don't care for the scriptures. They don't read the scriptures. It's not about the rules and regulations. So there's a direct connection. So if it's to no advantage in Buddhism, why would it be an advantage within Vaishnavism? So we have to be very, very careful. So the acharyas are giving that. You have to follow the rules, but don't get attached to the rules. Get attached to Krishna. Right? It doesn't mean you don't follow the rules, but you're not supposed to get attached to the rules. You're supposed to get attached to Krishna. Right? And getting that, you know, those activities that express that, the hearing and chanting, associating with Vaishnavas, hearing Bhagavatam, worshiping the Lord, living in the Dham, these become the prominent.
The only persons that really annoy me at Radhakund are the pundits. You want to sit there, you want to have a quiet moment, you want to take a bath, and they come and they want you to chant some mantras because they want some money. And if you say no, they say, I know your GBC, he's my friend, and I'm going to tell him.
And tell him says, and then you pull out, you know, then you pull out a card with your GBC's name on and says, yes, here's his phone number.
I mean,
it means you can try another aspect. One, find a place where they don't come.
Like,
right?
Where?
In other words,
they follow you around. They follow you around.
Yeah, but maybe come in first and just go sit down. Don't go all the way around and that sit, you know, and then go. Like, try when you walk in, you know, the side opposite. The Janava's Baitak.
Yeah.
You never see anybody over there. And even those steps on next to the road as you come in, if you sit down there, there's generally nobody.
Yeah, right.
You know? So you just look where there is. But, you know, once they've spotted you, you can also try the other Vrindavan thing. You know, your chudder, your blanket and that, and completely covering yourself. You know, just put it over your head. So in the front, backside, it's all around, just sit there. And then when they start coming and tapping and talking, just start chanting loudly, Hare Krishna, Krishna, you know, like that.
In the Dhimna Swami is my friend, and this one is my friend, and so why don't you?
I tell them, very nice, very nice. So yeah, sit down. We'll do something later, you know. Govinda Maharaj then just does a puja with them. He asks for a particular guy. Then they have to go away. And then that guy comes and lets you do whatever you're going to do. And then you do your little puja and he gives some money. And that's the other way. You have your pundit and you only, because technically if you have your pundit, the other pundits can't bother you.
Yeah.
You know, you say, oh, no, I like this, you know, this one. So, you know, find out, you know, a one pundit that annoys you less and then use him. or just go in alone and find a place. But if you have a group, they're definitely going to catch, you're going to catch their eye. But if you're alone, many times you can avoid, you know, or invite them to sit down with you. You're chanting, yeah, sit down here like that. Mantra after, right now we'll do Hare Krishna mantra.
It's difficult because you make offenses, you know.
Yes. Yes. What to do? Okay. Where were we? Oh, yes, this verse, Lord Chaitanya's quoting. The advanced devotee who is inclined to spontaneous loving service should follow the activities of a particular associate of Krishna's in Vrindavan. He should execute service externally as a regulated devotee, as well as internally from a self-realized position. Thus, he should perform devotional service both externally and internally. Footnote 57. This verse is also found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.295. Right? So then that's going to be how the process works. So externally, for a sadhaka, you're not going to know the difference between a Vaidhi sadhaka and a Raga sadhaka. Right? So the Raganuga sadhaka externally is going to, but he'll put his emphasis will be on these the hearing and chanting. But at the same time, as he's not going to, he's still going to follow all the rules very nicely. You know, that's going to be his position. So this idea is that, no, I get more advanced, I don't have to follow the rules. That's just, we're looking to get rid of rules. We don't want to follow rules. Otherwise, why would you mention it? Right? Like that, because that I know, because the thing is, you would not want, because they're saying, oh, if you're more advanced, you don't have to follow, but you'd never want people to think you're more advanced. So the, we see here is that we're talking about someone who's very advanced. They're going to act as a madhyama, right? And preach and all that, but they're going to present themselves as a neophyte. So that's the thing is that Rupa Goswami mentions the Uttama Adhikar is that they come as madhyamas to preach, but they present themselves as neophytes. You know, but you can see by their activities that they're madhyamas, but by their realization that they're uttamas. Is that, yeah? Okay. Actually, the inhabitants of Vrindavan are very dear to Krishna. If one wants to engage in spontaneous loving service, he must follow the inhabitants of Vrindavan and constantly engage in devotional service within his mind. Quote, the devotee should always think of Krishna within himself and should choose a very dear devotee who is a servitor of Krishna in Vrindavan. One should constantly engage in topics about that servitor and his loving relationship with Krishna. And one should live in Vrindavan. If one is physically unable to go to Vrindavan, he should mentally live there. Footnote 58. This verse is also found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.294. That also gives you an indication. If there's too much trouble going to Radha Kund, then you can always mentally go there. You could sit down there all day and you know, go there, take a nice picture, you know, of the particular place where you like to sit, you know, and then from there you can just put a nice big. Remember, knew one senior devotee that he had, you know, the deities and that, you know, where he worship and that. So he would have this huge, you know, full size photograph on the wall. So he'd have one that he could roll up and take with him. And then he could put it out on the wall, wherever he'd go, whatever room he's in. You know, it'd be one of those, you know, very big size that like the, you know, 1.5 meter by 2.5 meter size, you know, big poster kind of thing. And so he had that tube like that come out, put it up on the wall, then sit there and chant and like that. So you can also try that.
I have a spray bottle with Radakun water in China.
So every day. Oh, wow. Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. Yeah, you can get one of those, you know, nice, you know, that kind of like the, what do you call it? The cut glass kind of things, and it has that spray and that long tag with the squeezy thing on it, you know. You know, like, the, yeah, like that, you know. Krishna has many types of devotees. Some are servants, some are friends, some are parents, and some are conjugal lovers. Devotees who are situated in one of these attitudes of spontaneous love according to their choice are considered to be on the path of spontaneous loving service, right? So the spontaneous can be in any of these positions, right? It's not just following the gopis. The point is all the Brajbasis, they are spontaneous devotional service. They're all ragatas. Quote, my dear mother, Devahuti, O emblem of peace, my weapon, the disc of time, never vanquishes those whom I am very dear, for whom I am the supersoul, son, friend, spiritual master, well-wisher, worshipable deity, and desired goal. Since the devotees are very attached to me, they are never vanquished by the agents of time. Srila Prabhupada. This was spoken by Kapila Dev to his mother Devahuti, and is recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.38. Kapila instructed his mother in Shankya Yoga, but the importance of Bhakti Yoga is mentioned here. Later, Shankya Yoga was imitated by atheists whose system was founded by a different Kapila Dev, Rishi Kapila Dev. So it was a Rishi who took on the name of Kapila and then presented that he's doing Shankya, so then people will think it's his philosophy. But actually, Kapila Dev, the son of Devahuti, he's the original propounder of Shankya, because that then has its natural devotional application. If one engages in,
Maharaj. So Kapila Muni, he is the one who is listed as presenting the philosophy in Shankya in the Saptarshanam, right?
Means when you have the six darshans that are considered agnostic, then it's this Rishi Kapila Dev.
Yeah, Rishi Kapila Dev.
Yeah, because we see is that Kapila Muni's his philosophy, his presentation, that's in Bhagavatam, which is Vedanta philosophy. Right, because Vedanta, as you're bringing down, is showing how the Lord's energies are transforming and all that, then you're going to have Shankya. So the idea is if you understand how it came down, you can understand how to reverse it and take it back.
Yeah. Right.
Like that. That's all. So it's an assistant to the pure devotional process, is how to, you know, connect the body, mind, and all those kind of aspects. Yeah?
Yes.
One engages in spontaneous loving service to the Lord, his affection for the lotus feet of Krishna gradually increases. In the seed of affection, there is attachment which goes by two names, Rati and Bhava. Right? So that's the attachment. So when that increases fully, then one comes to that platform. Otherwise, before that, there's always going to be a touch of that. Mm-hmm. It's this Rati or Bhava. This Bhava, that's what extends down to Shraddha, that why you are attracted, why you have some kind of taste, why you have some interest like that. But it's just a touch of it, right? And so then from there, then it just expands. And we can say, no, but, you know, how can just a touch do? We have to remember, just a drop, we're 1/10,000th of the hair. How big is a drop? You know? Yeah, big. So it's enough to start. So then like that, then it just increases. Then when it comes to the next platform, there's more In other words, there's more faith, there's more attraction, right? You want to associate with the devotees. You like the philosophy, you know, you come around now and again, you have that faith, you know, that kind of, yes, okay, nice. But now you want to associate, then you want to follow the rules, then you want to purify the heart, then you want to be stable, then like this, then it just comes. So when you see Ruchi and Asakti in those positions, then we have the aspect that it's more, has the natural form of bhava, but it's not bhava. So it's just a part, but it's enough where it starts to take on that more, that form, that more spontaneous form and all that. Because then after that, then it's going to, I say, before that, then you're kind of just coming up and getting to where then you become stable. When it's stable, then you can get the taste and move forward. But when that intensifies, then that becomes bhava or rati. But that's what's going through the whole thing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead comes under the control of such attachment. So at that point, then he comes under one's control. Whereas before that, he is the friend. He's in the heart. He's there. He's seeing. You know, he becomes that whatever devotion is being offered. He becomes attracted by that because we're following the footsteps of the great devotees. Like this, you know, the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, the acharyas. And so then it becomes very, very appreciated. But at this point, then he himself personally becomes attracted. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments on this verse. Externally, a devotee performs all the items of devotional service in 9 different ways, beginning with Shravanam and Kirtanam. And within his mind, he always thinks of his eternal relationship with Krishna and follows in the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan. So you can begin, because Lord Chaitanya started off the eternal relationship as servant of Krishna. We're servant. So we're servant of Krishna and follows in the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan. Complete surrender. It doesn't have to have detail. Does that make sense? Because so you say, see, it says here, so who am I? What's my? Your relationship is servant, because the first position, the Shravana Dasa, means that you're appreciating that I am a servant of Krishna. That's what you have to get adjusted to. Then as you get purified, naturally, then what is that specific relationship? Then that becomes manifest. But servant, that's everybody in the spiritual world. That's the position. So then because of that full surrender, we're interested in that. That's why then we're following the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan. We're inspired by that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Maharaj, when we say, can we say that to serve the Acharya, to follow in the footsteps of the Acharya, is the starting to follow in the footsteps of the devotee of Vrindavan?
Yes. Because the point is we have to be able to appreciate following.
Yes.
That we're following the devotees. So then our line being that from Vrindavan, then the acharyas, then they're all coming in that line. They're all presenting Braja Bhakti. Right? And so aspect of servant of Krishna and that full surrender, that's then what we're trying to be absorbed in. So that
yes. It means without the Acharya, there is no possibility to serve the habitant of Vrindavan.
No, not at all. Because what's the connection?
Yes.
The Chit Shakti has to be there. It's not a matter of knowledge.
Yes, yes.
It's a matter of the internal potency. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's the whole point is that aspect of how it's connected to Krishna, that's what's important, right? And so we're going to connect through them, because why would you want to serve outside of serving them? Why would you want to do that? Yes. This idea is just Krishna and me. Then there's not going to, how is that going to be special, right? Because Krishna interacts with the devotees according to their rasa, how they serve him. So for us as a jiva, how much are we we going to be, you know, what is our potency? Though the point is it is compatible, since the qualities are the same as Krishna, just the volume's not, therefore it's compatible with serving Krishna. But the volume, the intensity, then we're going to follow in the footsteps of those who are established in that. They have the rag for Krishna. That's why we're rag anuga. Right? And do we see any ragatmika bhaktas on their own? Do we ever see Radha and Krishna in a cloud and an om sign? Are Radha and Krishna just there on their own? No one else is there. Are Krishna and Balaram are on that? No one else is there. Mother Jashoda and Krishna, no one else is there. Right? There's always the devotees that go with that particular pastime, that rasa. With Radharani, then her assistants are going to there, her sakis are there, other devotees are involved. Like that, with the cowherd boys, how many cowherd boys are there, right? You know, there's thousands of them. Like that, the servants in the house, where are they going to be servants? Just them and Krishna? No, they're going to be in the house of Mother Jashoda. They're going to be doing different things in the house or the Goshala or, you know, different things are going to be there. You know, Mother Jashoda, she's always there with her friends, Nanda Baba and everything like that, their servants, everything's there. So there's no such thing as this just you and Krishna. So there's always going to be that aspect as we're going to follow them, and they know how to serve Krishna. So therefore, when we say we're following that lead, and then we may be serving the assistance of that lead. Does that make sense? So how that assistant is serving that lead devotee, that's how we want to serve. In that mood, we don't want to take their service.
Yes.
You know, we want to serve, and we want to assist. So whatever we can do to assist, that's what we want to be involved. That makes sense. So one would always do. How else will one? You could make up your own theories and this and that, but why would the Braj Basis care who you're connected to? You know what I'm saying? Let's say you do walk into the pastimes. No one's seen you before. So someone's going to ask, oh, who are you? What's your name? Where are you from? Who are your parents? Why are you here? What do you do?
Yes.
Then, you know what I'm saying? You know, yeah, you know, hey, George and Amy Lovinsky, you know, so, who? What village are they from? You know, Gdansk. It's probably not going to work very well.
So, like in the end of Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, he's reaching out to those two disciples, two students. I mean, not Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Right.
And from what I understand, is the fruit of Raghunuga Sadhana is Siddha Pranali, is Ekadas Bhav, where you have all these identification, very specifics.
Right.
The service, the name, the dress, the place, the family, everything is given.
Yes, but you have that spiritual form.
Yes.
And you do have all those things.
Yes.
So the point is that, and where is, where, see, is this, but Siddha Pranali, but where is Swarup Siddhi? Where is that point of Swarup?
Oops.
You have to put one first, right? When one runs out, you have to put in the other one before you take out the, when it starts with it. Then you can only take out the other one. So the whole point is that following in the footsteps, then you have that mood. In other words, the mood of full surrender, if that's not there, if you're not on the platform of Rati, yes, what can you do with that? You know what I'm saying? What can you do with it? You know, it's just like father saying, okay, my dear son, he's holding his, you know, when you grow up, this, all this will be yours, right? Now he can walk into the boardroom and start telling people what to do. You know what I'm saying? That 3-year-old is going to be able to do that. Okay, don't be so extreme. He's a 6-year-old. Okay, he's a 10-year-old. Still, he doesn't know what's going on. He has to have that mood, that attitude of you know, being able to do those things. So Shravana Dasa will start from Shraddha, but it will bring you all the way up into the platform of Bhava, where then now you identify as a servant of the Braj Basis. You understand? That's the first position.
Yes. Yes.
The second position then is Varna Dasa. That goes down to you adjusting with, I'm servant of Krishna. I'm not the Lord master of all I survey. It starts there. And it matures that I specifically want to follow this devotee in their service. Like that. So does that make sense? So the problem is the introduction of these kind of things from the Sahajiyas. They don't start in that order. They reverse the order. They say is, first you're hearing about who you are, like that, the Siddha Pranali. Then you're adjusting with it. No. You first have to have that mood of surrender, the Braj Basis. They talk about the Braj Basis and their attitude as one thing. Then within that, there's details of 5 different kinds of relationships. Right? Then you're going to be absorbed. Then you're adjusting with that position and everything like that. Nice. Then you're going to have to be absorbed in Krishna. And that absorption then goes from the, the jhan. And then Smarna, Jnana, Anusmriti, Dhruvanusmriti, or something like that, to Samadhi, right? Samadhi. So it means occasional, regular, steady, absorbed, and then deep, right? You know, it goes up through that. When one gets to that point of Samadhi, then there is, it's exclusive. There's nothing else other than Krishna, right? So being nothing other than Krishna, then now you can take part directly in assisting those devotees that you're following in their service to Krishna. Right? Then you can be in the pastimes. Before that, you're in the dham. You associate with those devotees, but you're not directly working with Radha and Krishna. That point, then, when you're able to enter and now apply your sarup to service to Krishna, actually, practically, that's called sarup siddhi. Well, the Sahajiyas move it right down to, I just heard about it, now it's sarup siddhi. You know, if I can pull off the look and get the big enough eyes and, you know, do the whole thing, then it's sarup siddhi. So we see is that that's why we have to be very careful about this, is that they're explaining what the whole process, so that you know what the process is as you go through. But but if you have one book, that because you know the essence of everything and the principles that are there from beginning stage an understanding from the, you know, nursery to the kindergarten to the first grade to grade school to middle school to high school to undergraduate to postgraduate to doctorate, you know, to then the, you know, your higher doctorate. And the essence is there in one literature. Point is you have to apply where you are. You can't just go, oh, well, that looks nice. Does that make sense? Yes. So that's the whole point, is that when you're on that platform where you have that rati for Krishna, then these things naturally will take place. So it's not a matter, oh, when I know that, then I can do something with it. That's situational. You know, that's like saying, okay, you give me, you know, a Fender Stratocaster and that, and I'll be able to play like, you know, Eric Clapton. That's actually, that's the mistake that is being made. Oh, because I've heard this, now I can do it. No, you can't. You know, how much time he spent in the garage, how much time he spent practice, how much does he know about music and music theory? How many great personalities as he listened to and he's following? Then you can play. Has nothing to do. You can give him a ukulele and he'll be millions of times better than you playing the guitar. So that's the whole thing, is it has nothing to do with that you've heard about this. So what? You can't do it. It says in Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma, he understood his position as a maidservant of Krishna, but he only had a partial understanding of it. It says right there in the Brahma Samhita. So that's the point, is he could clear, okay, that was what serve, that's what I'd like to do, but he's not, but we don't see any Ekadas Bhav. And he's Brahma, you know, so you know he's doing okay. So the whole point is the whole thing is shown, but it's showing how one can go through. So we see with Bhakti Vinod Thakur up to him, they're showing that whole process because I think they're considering people will be honest, though at the same time there is problems. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he can see is that, you know, people have been very much affected by the Kali Yuga. And so therefore we have to, you know, bring them up, you know, make a process to make them step by step go up so they don't necessarily emphasize. It's mentioned, always mentioned, but it's never emphasized. You know, because it's in a book, we can emphasize a particular part of the book. But if you see is how much of the book is actually mentioning that. They might mention a page or two, and how many hundreds of pages are there? But we'll make it, oh, this is the whole thing. But no, that's what we would like to be the whole thing. But we're looking at it as the situation. Okay, so this is your, so we would just say, this is the name, this is the form, this is the dress, this is that. Okay, now what are you going to do? Right? So that's the point. There's no attraction. There's nothing that one will do. So the whole point is that has meaning when having that, you can do something with it. You know?
But you can only do something if you have the adhikar. If you don't have the adhikar, you can't do nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the whole point. So the adhikar, as is pointed out here, is Rati.
Rati.
Yes. Yes. And so that position called Rati means it's full 24 hours a day. He served Krishna and Vrindavan in this particular way. He serves Krishna 24 hours a day, all day and night. So when you're doing that, then that particular, that has meaning when you're absorbed. But if it's just like, well, I want to know, and if I know, then I'll be inspired. Then you're talking about the neophyte here, literally. You know, unless I know, then how can I, you know, no one's telling, and oh, you're hiding this from us. I know there's more there, but if I go to the Babaji's or Radhakund, they'll tell me and all that. Yeah, but they'll also take them, you know, a kind donation. You know, and so it means you want the real thing. Then here it is. You want to be cheated. You want something cheap. That cheap is available. You know, that's the thing. It's everything's there. You know, it's like every place they have that one part of town where all the good shops are and the solid stuff. Yeah, this stuff, and they have the one part of town where, you know, it's like it's a schlock.
The Chinese.
Yeah, it's just it's called schlock. You know, so it looks good, you know, it looks exactly like a gold Rolex, but actually it's, you know, it's not, you know, it's a Timex. It's not real gold. Don't rub it on anything, you know. It was interesting is that was telling me that there was this program, I think, can't remember who it was, but one of the big Russian leaders, you know, I think from Moscow, whoever the big leader was, and he was down in one of the, you know, regions, you know, say, you know, wherever it was, and they were doing something there, going to build some big thing, you know, like a dam or something like that. And so then you have the regional leader and the, you know, the central government leader, they're both there. And so then when the time comes that they, you know, whatever their ritual that they do, cutting a ribbon or this or that or something, and they start pouring the cement and all that. So then the Moscow leader takes off his, you know, gold watch and tosses it in, you know, like that, you know, and everybody, whoa, yeah, okay, this is going to be auspicious, right? So then the regional leader thinks, oh, this is the thing to do. Okay, so then he takes off his and throws it in. The difference was, is the guy from Moscow, he goes to all these programs, so he has tons of these knockoff watches. You know, it's a copy. Well, but while the regional guy actually threw in his real gold watch. Yeah, so you have to know which shop to go for which occasion, right? You know, so yeah, so that's the thing. If you want cheap, you can get cheap. Cheap is the easiest available. But if you want the real thing, then that's the special one. Like that. Huh? Wait a minute.
10 minutes over.
Yes. Yeah. Huh. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.